Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. This is the fourth episode of season two for the episode of Arrow called Crucible. I'm one of your hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
So it's great to be back with you guys for a really awesome episode. And a really special episode of Quiver for you, too.
Yeah, we've got an interview with Andy Poon, a concept illustrator for Arrow. He does all, you may have seen a few of them actually posted on the Arrow Facebook page, of the concept art for character designs and stuff like that. The Black Canary one was released. And we've got an interview with him today. So we're actually going to, we're going to jump right into that. And then we'll come back and we'll do the episode proper. So enjoy this interview with Andy Poon. Welcome to a special segment on this week's Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. We've just done the intro, and then I'll have introed this intro. We've got a special guest with us this evening. And that is Andy Poon, who is, I should have asked, what's your official title?
I am the costume illustrator. I work with the costume designer Maya on the show Arrow, and I do all the special characters, the heroes or villains, do the designs for them.
Okay, so there's a separation there between costume designer and your costume illustrator.
Right.
How does that work? Like, she comes up with the concept and then you flesh it out, or?
That's right. So generally Maya would like contact me and say, hey, we're doing this character, let's say Bronze Tiger, for example.
Yeah.
So this is the core idea, and this is what she'll show me references of. This is what producer don't want to go the direction. This is too cartoony, and this is what I think, how do we ground it to the Arrow universe? And then I love working with her because she gave me the core idea and then she just let me run wild and go explore whatever I want. Partially because she probably just knows I'm a comic book geek. She knows, like, okay, I think he knows what he needs to do. Sometimes I tend to push a little in terms of, like, okay, how much little, how true can I stay to the source material? And then I'll push it and then we'll rein it back because we still have to keep it realistic in this universe. So I love working the dynamics with her. And she would be the one who knows, like, what material to use, and then she'll send me reference, and I can incorporate into the design, so we flex properly, because the last thing we want to do is do this awesome design, then the director loves it, and, ooh, we cannot build it. Then that'll be big trouble.
You talked about the Arrow universe a lot. Is that the conversations around that? Because they have, that's one of my favorite things about the show, is just this world that they've created very specific to the Arrow universe. Sort of what comes through to you? Like, how do you find that nice balance?
I pretty much draw as, like, almost a direct parallel to the Nolan Dark Knight universe. It's very grounded. There's no special superhero costume. Everything is very tactical or military based. So that's one thing I always reference back is military technologies. So everything has a reason. There's no, even those certain arrow shapes patterned on his suit, there's subtle. It's a little hint. It's never literal. So that's usually, that's kind of like the ground rule. Don't just throw on a random shoulder pad because it looks cool. It's not a video game.
So you also worked on Smallville, right?
That's right.
So obviously very different versions of the DC universe.
Yes.
Still a lot of similarities. I mean, Smallville did still stay fairly grounded, but it was a lot more like
colorful.
Colorful, and it was almost more like athletic wear for a lot of the
That's
characters.
Right. Yeah. I think also they were targeting, like, I think younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more tongue in cheek, I would say. And almost, so when I first see the Justice League, I almost can compare them to a Power Ranger version of the DC universe.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more fun. I think the more hardcore, purist comic book fan enjoy that probably quite a bit. And then ones that are slowly transitioning to, like, Nolan versus Batman would be like, that's a little bit intense in terms of the theatricality-wise.
Yeah, well, but towards the end of this series, there were some really true to the comics.
Very
characters, like when Hawkman came on.
Right.
Like, other than just being a straight up harness, and I think that was just like a practicality thing of,
right,
of the actor
well.
Was not as ripped as Hawkman.
That's right.
So he had the chest plate, but other than that chest plate being underneath the harness,
right,
he was almost off the page. Like,
yeah,
the
like,
helmet was.
He's
was
like just
perfect.
As like unlimited version,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
And Dr. Fate, he's pretty much
how we
see it in like Teen Titans or any of those shows. So, but yeah, I stopped working right after, I believe, the main Justice League's cast. And
okay.
then I think there was a slight budget cut as well. So, because obviously Green Arrow, he has the most budget. Like, his costume was the most expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other three, like Impulse and Cyborg and Aquaman, those were kind of one group. We did it as one group. So
yeah.
they are not... They're more like a little hint, a little tribute to that. But Green Arrow was definitely the key character.
Okay.
How does that change when you're translating into the Arrow universe? Like, do you have that same sort of categorization where you have different characters that get specific attention or specific budgets to go towards them?
Arrow universe seems like they're not as rushed as in, like, we need to throw in this group of, like, crazy superhero characters. So they're very good at introducing one at a time and setting them up rather than just like, okay. I feel like maybe Smallville, they were toward the end, they feel like the Clark Kent things kind of have been done over and over already, so they kind of, okay, let's give the fans some superhero stuff. So I feel like they maybe rush all the characters in a little bit too quick as a big batch. And so the Arrow one I like a lot because they try to thread them through with some sort of character development and reasoning in terms of Oliver Queen and also the situation of the city.
Right.
So it's kind of, yeah, I still draw parallel to like the Dark Knight, what's happening in terms of the city kind of got control and then the Oliver Queen stepped away after season one and then now he's stepping back trying to regain his city again.
Well, and we didn't see a ton. I mean, we saw very realistic groups of superheroes last year in sort of these one-offs, and now we're starting to see more established characters, and we see that there's people coming down the pike that are really going to get a lot of time and attention. So are you finding that your time and attention is going to be taken up this year in very specific ways, like more energy?
I hope so and believe so. Normally, I don't get to find out until the day before, like, hey, this is a character showing up. They're pretty hush because I actually generally don't get the script.
Uh-huh.
I get descriptions, so that's good as well. But sometimes I like to know how they are developed. It might change my design or illustration wise. I hope. I know the Flash is coming up.
Yeah.
It's happening. I don't know how. I know they just from the internet. I think they're introducing him as Barry Allen, just as himself.
Yeah.
Introduced in the series of Arrow, and then later on they're gonna spin off and do their own pilot. So I don't think he's gonna appear as the Flash in the series of Arrow. I hope he does. Maybe. But my main thing is every time I was like, hey, every time I see a new character of DC show, I'm like, I'm one step closer to work on Batman. One step closer. That's just my dream. So,
Well, you definitely had some awesome designs come up this season already.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Bronze Tiger, which I loved. I thought that was a really great a character who's very difficult. And we talked about it. We had a guest host in with us, Brian, and him and I were talking about how that character traditionally is just essentially wearing a karate gi and a tiger mask.
And I actually wasn't familiar with the character at all, like, before I got that assignment. I'm like, who's this guy? And I look at him like, whoa, he's like a Mortal Kombat? Yeah, like, some, like, full animal suit character.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is a Japanese manga called Tiger Mask.
Interesting.
Okay.
Which is essentially Bronze Tiger.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler. So.
But you got to reinterpret him and make him a little bit more palatable for a show like Arrow.
And it's Michael J. White.
Yeah, yeah, which was awesome.
Spawn, and he was in Dark Knight.
Do you build for specific actors that are already cast sometimes?
Like, that's very interesting, because for Bronze Tiger, I know they were, I already knew they were casting Michael. And for Black Canary, I did not know. So I always like to play this game called, like, I try to depict what the character looks like, and then once I cast it, I try to see how close was I. And sometimes I also wonder if my illustration would actually influence them to cast a specific type. Because the illustration of Black Canary, I did not know who they were casting. And then after I'm like, I see some similarity. So maybe coincidence, or maybe I actually impact something. I don't know, but that's, I always like that idea of like, if I influence them, will they influence me? Like,
yeah, I've been saying since the beginning of this season, since she showed up in the last 5 minutes of the premiere, that Black Canary costume is the best costume on TV so far, like for the DC universe. I guess just straight up for comics.
Yeah,
it is so true to the character, and just for like the
fishnets,
but that's the best part about it, is that even though it's not, it might not be the comic book version or the Brave and the Bold version or even the New 52 version, it is its own thing, which is really cool. But then you know that it's Black Canary, like you just visually you understand who that is. You're not going to make the mistake. Like in the past, I think we would look at characters and we go, oh, maybe that's supposed to be so and so, and then because they only get referred to by their civilian,
right? Exactly.
And then you look it up and you go, that's the person who was the second incarnation of that character. Right. Smallville did a lot of that, especially in the early seasons. But with this Black Canary design, you see her and you're like, that is Black Canary 100%.
Right.
And I just such a, like, the silhouette of it, and just, like I said, from start to finish, like, from concept to execution on the show, it's the best costume that I've seen.
And we did spend quite a bit of time on, I mean, we explore, because we were looking at all these images, I mean, fishnets, that definitely one of the key thing, but it's not right, like, if we put fishnets in it, I know. I actually, like, I was just waiting for the episode show, and I'm just jumping right on the internet and see, like, who come playing with fishnets. But the other key element on her, she always had the crop jacket.
So
that's a key. I mean, her sexiness, so her cleavage, but, sure. I mean, we have to find the balance of, like, not too revealing, but she needs to look sultry.
You don't want it to be cartoony.
Exactly. So, I mean, so I thought the corset, that was a good, you know, and kind of give her shape, but still give her an edge.
Yeah.
I mean, we try ripped jeans that have the fishnet showing through. We try, but we ending up just like, we're like, because fishnet, so it's a cross shape. So, like, what about little straps that kind of brings that fishnet pattern back without being fishnets? So I always try to find little hints that give back the same vibe from the comic book, because I'm a comic book fan, so I would like to see the influence, but just a new take on it. But I'm, actually, there's a big challenge between Smallville and actually the Arrow show is, so Smallville, what says superhero? It's the hood. At least in the beginning, anyways. Mm-hmm. It's the hood and the glasses. So I think they actually ran into some challenges of some of the character on Arrow. Because we try to... I think the producer wanted to stay away from the hood and the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, what are we going to do? Because they need disguise. So I think they made a pretty bold move with Huntress and Black Canary actually putting a mask on them.
Because
it could very be easily mistaken as a cheap costume. So I thought that was a very bold move, but I think it's working. So.
The domino masks on this series, I think, have been some of the best ones.
Right.
Like, across the board, in just in realizing real-life superhero costumes. Because that domino mask, you're right, like, it can end up coming off as kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But with this Black Canary design, it really, like, it almost makes her intimidating, right? Like,
definitely.
Just the way that it's kind of cut onto her face,
mm-hmm.
And the shape of it just really makes her seem like she's more of a powerful foe.
Right.
Than Domino masks in the past.
Exactly.
That have just kind of, they just end up looking like a, like, let's say, go back to, like, Batman and Robin or
right.
Batman Forever, where Robin's Domino masks end up kind of just looking like this rubber plastic thing slapped on his face,
right?
Exactly. Like, they didn't come across as hardcore or awesome,
right.
But for her, it's really working.
And I think part of it is also keeping the design actually, like, simple and strong. Like, the Batman Robin, like, reference, yeah, they definitely, like, they way over-designed that much.
Yeah.
If you're a superhero, like, they spend, I know Bruce Wayne has money, but they probably spend a lot of time just to design that perfect little bird chain mask.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the line is, like, over-designing. It'll just look costumey, and then the other just go simple and just, what's the core? She's trying to intimidate people, so
yeah.
Find some hard lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, let's make it like a canary bird shape. So that would be way too
yeah.
far off. Yeah, that's like more like Smallville or, yeah.
Well, Smallville had the makeup, the bird feather makeup.
So,
yeah.
Very theatrical.
Yeah.
It worked with Smallville. But yeah, I cannot see that version. I mean, we did have the Huntress stripper costume.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely tribute to the
comic
book version.
People
yeah.
loved
yeah.
that because
yeah.
it was totally a way of saying, like, we acknowledge the comic books.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
we know.
But our characters live in a much more grounded world. So
exactly.
In that scenario, it's okay for her to be in,
yes.
like with the exposed legs and everything.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, if she's riding around on a motorcycle,
that's
she's
right.
going to be wearing leather, right?
That's
like,
right.
It just
yeah.
makes more sense.
Right.
With Black Canary, at the end of the last episode, we got the reveal that she's working for Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Were you given specific instruction to tie her costume into the Dark Archer from last year, like into Malcolm Merlin's costume? Like,
because it
does sort of, in retrospect, it does feel like there's a connection between those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, we saw another Dark Archer, like another hooded Archer type
right.
guy, show up last
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm. I did not know there was a connection between those two.
Okay.
But again, very interesting, the mention of Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Might be something coming up. I didn't know there was a connection, but, I try to, even just visually, even though I know they're not connected, I try to find little threads throughout these different characters,
mm-hmm.
Tie them together visually.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't know there's a story connection, but just having a little thread just makes them more unify, so they don't
yeah.
feel like, oh, where did you come from? Like, did you come from another alternate DC universe or something?
Yeah, so that it all feels shared.
Yeah, and once you start building, like, characters that way, you also just keep adding, like, layers on top of more, like, the
mm-hmm.
mytho or the history of this world, rather than just like every time there's a new character, you're just gonna design something crazy new, and then just doesn't feel like the same cohesive world.
That's that's one of my favorite parts of the show, actually, is the cohesion that you see through all elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really great thing to be thinking about, is how can you tie all of these characters together. I'm
mm-hmm.
wondering if that's something that's like a personal model of yours, or if that's something that sort of the Arrow staff and people working on the show have all sort of bound together to recognize that this world needs to be cohesive and it needs to be all fit together in some way. Has that ever been talked about or communicated to you?
Definitely. Like, actually, especially when I first came on board, I was all excited. I'm like, okay, what do I get to do? And they're like, slow down. So let's talk about, like, what is the core idea of this universe. And the cohesiveness is definitely, like, a big part of it. Again, we don't want the superhero, per se, like, to come up as superhero. They are real people, so they're visual. They could be a little bit, hyper-realism.
Right.
They're a little bit more than reality, but they still need to be very grounded. You need to relate to them. So that part definitely, like, was communicated to me. And then my own background, I generally like to design things that function for, like, I'm a visual person, but function over form. So I was trying to find reasons first. It could be a simple, like, why did someone has a certain mask or a certain glove? Like, I was trying to, even though the script might not say it, but I try to make up a reason that give that purpose, because general public might not notice it, but people who pick it up, it would give them another layer of satisfaction in terms of visual and storytelling. So I guess that part kind of worked well between me and the show, and it kind of, we're working together, not against each other.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's fabulous. It's created, one of the things we constantly talk about is the costumes and how cool the whole universe is. So,
and some of the characters are kind of larger than life,
mm-hmm.
in a sense, even though they're grounded. So, yeah, like, because it's tough sometimes. Like, you want them to stand out, but not stand out. And then also some of the characters, they share similar elements, like Deadshot and Deathstroke. They both have, like, some sort of armor, and then we have to kind of find interesting way to, like, differentiate them. But because, I mean, there's so many different, only so many few types of military armor and something. So how do we utilize those things, but also hint little things from the original character designs from the comic books, and find little threats we can just sneak in and tell people, like, oh, okay.
As a comic book nerd yourself, self-admitted comic book nerd, what was the coolest thing that you geeked out about when you were working on this series? Was there a moment that you got to research something or look into a design where you were really sort of excited, or something, even having just known what the show is and got really excited about an element of it?
I think I was just excited to start with. And I'm like, superhero, yay! So when I was doing Deathstroke, I know of the character. I watched Teen Titans and I read Batman comics, so I know a little bit of history, but I didn't know a whole lot of them. So I actually need to research, especially when Slade Wilson show up. I got the confusion. It's like, I thought Slade Wilson is the Deathstroke.
Yeah.
So who is this other Deathstroke guy? So that part is very interesting, because they also inventing a little bit something new. They spin it off. So, but just that alone make me go and research, and now I have to read this thing, which triggered me to read this other character. It's kind of helping me to expand my own comic book geek universe as well, so that's exciting. Because sometimes, like, after working a while, you're just like, oh, it's just another comic. It's just another dimension, new 52, 53, whatever, of the same story. So, but just doing research on my own, because I have to do it on the show, kind of helps me, like, go look at stuff that I normally just like, I'm not going to look at it. So it's kind of sparking the comic book again. Cool. That's good.
Yeah, I find that too. There's a lot of things that'll be brought up in the show that made us excited and explore more about the DC universe, and they have all these nods all the time and
mm-hmm.
really pay attention to the details of the show, which is really awesome.
I mean, I think the last episode there was a chase scene. I think, was it Roy and
mm-hmm.
the chase?
The car,
yeah. And then they went to a clock tower, and then
I think
people like, is it a little nod? Is there gonna be like Bird of Praise and
other
things and Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Very cool.
Like,
We were talking a little bit about when you're designing something like this, and you know, you get your instructions and stuff like that, and you don't really hear a lot about it. You just get a description. You don't get the script.
Mm-hmm.
How far out on the production timeline do you get the heads up that, like, hey, we're gonna need Bronze Tiger, we're gonna need a Black Canary
right.
design.
So I think I'll probably, like, a few, I was want to say maybe I'm like maybe a month ahead of them. So what I'm working on right now is probably not like maybe two episodes later kind of thing. But usually when I actually get to start on the illustration, they are already looking for materials and stuff. So almost happening quite simultaneously. Like, sometimes I would do my first rough sketch pass and I'll send it to Maya, and she'd be like, oh, we found this piece today, like, can you think about me incorporating this? Because, I mean, again, this TV, so we cannot customize everything. Like, we cannot create a whole new batsuit type thing. So we do need to find real materials. But I think that's also part of the fun, is like it's almost like a little puzzle solving. Like, we have these pieces, like, how do we connect them together? So I think that's what I like about my job as well. It's like, here's some material. And sometimes I like it being more limited and on a constrained budget. It actually, I have to be more creative about it. So, what was the question again? Oh, right.
Just the lead time.
The lead time. I would still say it's actually pretty tight. We, like, just right on the heel of after production. Like, sometimes I finish something and then they already done building a prototype, so I might have to adjust. Mm-hmm. Or the props department might have this specific knife that Slade was gonna use. I'll have to retrofit it back into my illustration just to reflect it properly. Yeah, that happens quite often. So, yeah, we almost like I went to this seminar for the production designer for Man of Steel, and he talked about back in the days, design thing for movie, it's a linear progression. It's designer done something, pass it on to the next guy, you never see it again. Nowadays, most entertainment movies or TVs is what they call rapid prototyping. So the design phase is not really a straight line, it's a circle. So you pretty much constantly working with different department, feed them something, they feed it back to you, which is a way more creative way to work as entertainer.
And it definitely, again, feeds back into the cohesiveness of the world, I think, all those departments
working
together and creating the story together, so it's very cool.
Like, today I was doing something, and then I sent it to them, and they're like, hey, this actually doesn't fit, what about this? And then it sparks something else, and then it's just a lot more back and forth bouncing ideas, which is good. Sometimes you can just sit there in your own table, trapped in the corner, and do what you think is the best, and then it might not be. So.
Yeah. Very cool.
Cool. Well, thank you for stopping by, for talking to us about Arrow. I'm sure our listeners will love to get that insight into just how these characters transfer from the page onto the screen. How can people find you? Like, do you have any, like, a Twitter or Facebook that you'd like to shout out?
I have a Facebook page called Andy Poon Design. Generally, I update my Arrow designs as they air. Slowly, though, I find the producer have been leaking the art way earlier. I actually had a freaked out about Black Canary because I'm like I was sitting with my girlfriend scrolling a page. I'm like, that's my drawing. Why is it out? Did I accidentally post it? Nope, it was the producer. Okay. All right. Yeah, so which is cool, because actually he's, like, showing the art, because sometimes on TV you don't get the whole art book, and
yeah,
it may not never be seen by, like, people, and some of the awesome caution mark that they've done, so which is great. I have a blog. It's also Andy Poon Design. It's actually Artistic Mind of Poon. It's kind of weird. But, post links to you guys' podcast website as well.
We'll put all the links and everything on our Facebook page and on our website when this episode goes up.
Yeah, excellent.
But yeah, thank you for thanks for stopping by. Anytime. And we'll have you back.
And as the characters
there's
going to
be
out,
some in,
as I'm characters sure. rolled out. And again, I'm one step closer to Batman.
It's good.
Awesome.
It's good.
Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It was lovely to meet you. So, very awesome guy. I'm really glad that Andy came to talk to us, and hopefully you guys had a little bit of fun hearing about some behind-the-scenes stuff for the character concepts and creation, and
hopefully Andy will be back to tell us more about, some speedier characters down the line, hopefully.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. He stayed, watched the episode with us, we got to talk a little bit, so it's, hopefully it's good. It's a good community here in Vancouver to be able to, like, really talk to people and see how that creation process comes about, so... Very exciting. So because that was such a, substantive interview, and I think we could probably just dive right into going with this episode, because obviously we got to talk a lot about characters and big characters in this one that we really want to see.
Yeah.
And we thank everybody for their tweets that were not spoiler-laden in this week, which is good. So someone just saying, I think it was Doug Green on Twitter, going, oh my god, the last 3 minutes of this episode will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And very true.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, lots happened in this episode, so let's get right into it. I am hitting play now.
On the commercials.
Oh, yeah, I didn't cue it.
Oh, no.
It's fine. We're fine.
It's good. Now it's starting. Yay. Oliver Queen and getting all these throwbacks to all these different people. It's good. The problem is now, and Andy was able to like talk to us about some really cool things and talk about, I don't know, he got me really excited about stuff that he's been working on, so I really need to make sure that I focus on the stuff that's now, right? And not be thinking ahead.
Not the future,
yeah. Because we got to see that cool concept art at the end of this episode, what we see at the end, the Sebastian blood, right? Because this blood guy, right?
Yeah.
So very excited.
Who, if you didn't know right from the second that he shows up on the scene, that he is a bad guy. And everything that happened in this episode leading up to it, all the, like, him getting in good with Oliver and Oliver saving his life and everything, like, Oliver is going to come to regret that decision.
Because
obviously this guy is not, he doesn't have the best interests of the city.
Yeah. And so we've done all the previous Leons and now, you know, diving right into this episode where, kind of an interesting start. I don't think they've started an episode like this before where they sort of split between, like, a calm sort of party and then into the action, which was, I mean, really set this episode up to be like a high action episode, especially with guns. A lot of guns in this episode, which really sort of point out the issues that Ollie faces in terms of his weapon of choice.
The differences. But he's got gadget arrows now, for sure, because he's firing these Bola type arrows. Mm-hmm. I love this moment where she goes through and then it's just gunfire. Felicity freaks out a little bit.
I love how integral Felicity is to this whole thing. It's very cool. And then just sort of punching out the guy there, not figuring out where the guns are coming from. So that's what they're trying to figure out, right? So this whole episode trying to figure out, again, we didn't really set up this is brand new, right? The idea of guns in the Glades, because they're sort of talking about things that are going on in the Glades.
It's that they have military-grade weapons, right? It's not a matter of them just being armed. Obviously, all of the bad guys have been fairly well-armed, but these guys have military-grade weapons, and they're gangbangers, right? They're just sort of street thugs.
Yeah, so how do they
But they're running around with this really expensive hardware.
Sorry, what a cute little moment between Felicity and Oliver, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm getting better with them, right? Like, and like this idea. Like,
oh, you're okay with you don't all, quite
I'm
ship
getting
it.
Okay, but I don't ship it. I don't ship it.
Okay.
I like them exactly how they are right now. I'm okay with it.
I'm at this point better with Oliver and Felicity than I am with Oliver and Laurel.
Well, I'm better with everybody in Oliver than, like, Oliver and Laurel.
But you know what? They're setting, like, this episode really shows us that they're setting Laurel up for a fall.
Yeah.
So, I think I said this last week. We're not supposed to be happy with her right now.
Yeah,
we're supposed to be mad at her character.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna put this out there and say I'm gonna trust in the Arrow writers because they haven't led us wrong yet.
Yeah,
so I'm just gonna trust them. Like we're in their hands with where this character is going. Everything else this season has been incredible. I got to imagine that they're setting it up that way for a reason.
We sort of talked over the conversation with where we had Blood and Laurel.
Yeah.
But I love that conversation started because they overheard Ollie talking about guns. I love it when they do that sometimes where it's like, obviously if you talk about your Green Arrow things in a party, people are going to hear it. Right? Anyways, and so we cut here to what we think is the Columbia Theater.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. The more I see it, maybe it's not.
Anyways, but we've got the mayor now, right? So that's
it might be the Paramount.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
Which is also down in New West.
I don't know.
I've never been in there, so... Because it's...
definitely doesn't have a throne, whatever it is.
Oh, no, that's definitely not the Columbia.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's...
Yeah, so this guy, the mayor, he's a... It's interesting. He was just a normal-ish guy.
Yeah,
never really in any trouble, and then the quake happens, and it seems like he kind of lost his faith in humanity a little bit. So
there was a void, I think, is a lot of the stuff that happened in the Glades, right? That, like, the infrastructure, even in gang infrastructure, crumbled, right? So the ability for people to fill those voids.
Well, I think it was more that like... He found, like, the police can't do anything.
Right.
No, it's just the guy with the biggest gun wins, right? That's what he's learned, so he's all about the guns.
Yeah. Anyways, and so Laurel with a glass of alcohol on her hand all week.
I love this.
Funny
I'm going to lose it if somebody says, are you okay? And then he just goes, are you okay? But yeah, she's drinking a lot in this episode. It is,
which is, I mean, you know, the interesting parallels with her dad and sort of, we were talking, I'm kind of sad not as much Paul Blackthorne in this episode as I would have liked to have seen.
No, but the Paul Blackthorne we got was incredible.
Yeah,
so like, it's quality over quantity.
Yeah, okay,
so I'm not gonna fault them for that.
By the way, this is great triangle-y things happening here.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. And Ollie sort of does this weird thing where he kind of looks annoyed but not really, and like genuinely listens to
him. I think Oliver's problem, it's not, he's not annoyed at any person. He's just annoyed at the situation.
I
really like to fix things with Laurel, but I know I can't because I'm the Arrow, and Felicity's coming to talk to me about that.
And can we just shout out to, like, people figuring things out like regular human beings on this show?
Yes.
Like, Felicity being genuinely with it enough to put those dots together and be like, hey, Laurel was also in these places where this Black Canary person showed up, and, like, thank you.
The characters are as intelligent as we are.
Yeah, which is just, which doesn't happen all the time, right? So it's just very awesome. By the way, this is like a cool little trap he sets here for her.
Yes, and totally, like, this took me by surprise. When we saw the Facebook messages and tweets about, like, oh, the last 3 seconds.
Yeah, we thought it was
going to be... I thought, like, oh, they're going to reveal Sarah.
Yeah.
And then we're not even at the sting yet.
Yeah,
and already, he's going to find it. Like, when he... moved for the mask, I thought, because she drops the device.
Sonic,
there,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I thought the second that he moves for the mask, she was getting detonated, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She lets him take the mask off.
I want to know how she knew that it was Oliver, though, because that's something... Because
she's smart.
Because she just... Okay. Anyways. It's interesting. So it's just very... I don't know. Yeah, this was definitely... We thought that it was going to be a bigger thing. And again, this show, it sort of takes your expectations and just goes, nope, that's... We're just going to tell you right away who it was. And like...
He just pulls his head off.
Yeah.
I love it. His reaction's so perfect. And then the flashback.
To the reshot scenes with the new actress who plays... I know, it's fine. I just think that it's cooler when you can have the actual actors... in it from the very beginning and have that much forethought to be like, we're going to make this character important later.
I'm not 100% sure that they knew that they were going to go this route with her, because last season they went to a lot of pain to go like, no, she is dead.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a switch. It's very true.
So now we've got some commercials. We're just going to fast forward through real quick.
Yes, because we already watched all the cute ones while we were watching it the first time. which is good.
And then we're back at Vernon.
So they're looking at the old, you know...
I like that that there's consequences for Oliver not having told them the truth. Like, Diggle is not happy with him.
Yeah.
Because, he said it... last season a lot that they need to, if they're going to be effective,
he needs to
know what's going on.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, it turns out that actually she did survive and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like they're reacting to this properly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nobody's like, that's it, I'm done, we can't work with you anymore. Like, nobody's storming out and having a hissy fit.
Yeah.
But they are mad at him. They are visibly...
Which is just great. And this is setting up, obviously, so much for this idea that I saw her a year later. And you're like, what? But we haven't. What's going on? What do you mean you saw her a year later? We haven't decided this. And then you're like, well, the island's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. Right?
But he thought that she was dead for sure, even though he saw her a year later.
Yeah.
That he saw that she died again. So
it's
going to be interesting to watch through this season and see what happens. I'm going to throw this out that right now, this is my speculation. She'll die somewhere towards the end of the season on the island, and at the same time, she'll be dying
in present time.
Like, it'll be flipping back and forth between the two death scenes, and he's going to watch her die again.
Yeah.
And then Laurel will become Black Canary.
Okay. That sounds sufficient. I like that he gets genuinely mad at them sometimes. Like, this idea, like, that they push sometimes really far, and then he comes back with that, like, obviously the island is still there, really, like, close to service, and then they get that moment where they're like, we really don't understand this, but they let him be, so they let him be mad, right? Like, where you have Felicity just listening to him, right? So this idea, and then they're switching back here to, back to getting the job done, right?
Yeah, it got a little heated, so it's like, let's focus on work.
And I like this idea, secrets have weight, like, they keep bringing things back, right? And this episode, they actually brought a lot of stuff back that they're sort of tying back in, right? We get, potentially a new love interest for Diggle, and some new interesting directions for that.
This stuff on the boat is really intense.
Yeah,
I like this guy. I'm wondering if he's a named character.
Yeah,
we'll find out at some point because we didn't get a name this episode. I don't know if maybe on IMDb he's got a credit, but but they're looking for the graves. And he calls out, and maybe not right at this part, maybe it's later, about the misshapen skeleton.
Yeah, I think it's later when when they're discussing why, right after he survives the little, like, test or whatever that he goes through, right?
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Trying to figure out if it's connected to the last 3 seconds of the episode or not.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think it does. Look, he's starting to change into Ollie. Which is just interesting.
Yeah.
I just think it's, ooh, interesting. Go to hell, can't, we're already there. I sort of missed that before.
And he shoots him.
Yep, he is shot.
That's a nice establishing shot of the clock tower.
Because we hadn't got the outside before, I don't think, so. Very interesting. Oh, and thanks to people, you know, there was sort of a debate on Facebook and, like, the social media about the clock tower before. Because we were really focused on it from, you know, Green Arrow. But people wanting to recognize that it's also shout out to Birds of Prey, right? Yeah. The idea that, and someone posted really cool art of, like, the three of them, but it made Oracle look like Felicity, or I don't know if that was on purpose. I didn't really look at the art really closely. Like, I can't tell if someone, like, made it specifically and then put in Huntress, Black Canary, and Felicity as Oracle, which was kind of cool, but someone threw that out as, like, an idea. It was sort of interesting to talk about. This is kind of interesting how it grounds it here, where she's talking about, I ran into an old boyfriend. It's just, like, an interesting perspective on that sort of relationship, right? And this idea of what it is, like, how she would react to that, right? Which is kind of interesting.
I like that. I like this actress. We don't have her name memorized yet, I don't think. But I really like her. She's,
Sorry. I like both of them. Or which one are you talking about?
The
Black Canary?
Sarah,
Yeah. I like Sin too. I'm actually kind of glad they didn't
that
kill
she
her
survives.
Off. Yeah. Because I was worried. I was like, oh no, she got shot.
Yeah. Bye, yeah, Sin. It seemed like they were trying to get rid of a recurring character.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Season. It,
why don't they make her into Black Canary? That'd be good. I want her to be Black Canary, not Laurel. And that it's just this, like, random sidekicky person that she has. Because what is this random sidekicky person's, like purpose right now? Because they don't have one yet. And I'm, like, intrigued.
No. She is a nod to the Black Canary character, though, because her short black
hair.
Her
black
hair,
exactly. So, like, combined, the two of them make one Black Canary that, I don't know, maybe Thea starts to become friends with them, or something. I don't know. I just feel like everybody expects it to be Laurel, and therefore the writers are going to be like,
I think
just
they just
kidding.
Needed somebody for her to confide in.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she's just
true. That's true.
So now we've got Diggle meeting with his old military friend,
Lila. Thank you, Close Captions, for telling us that name when we needed it.
Thank you also, Arrow Writers, for saying her name more than once so that we could remember who she is, because she's here to help with the tracking down the military weapons. Mm-hmm. She calls him Johnny, which I think is just so great, because it's a nod to, like, he had a life before he was Dig.
Yeah, which is interesting. And can I just love that it's not like a deuce machina or whatever.
Deus
name.
Ex machina.
Deus ex machina. That, I always read it in my head when I say it out loud, so that's why I have a problem. Anyways, but, like, it's like, they need to find out something with the army. Let's just hack into the army database.
Yeah.
Right? Because they can only do that so much.
No,
so they actually have,
organic,
like, a content, right? Organic,
that
they brought back someone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is just, like, it's a nice moment, and they had to find a new location and go shoot that scene, which is really
Here's this blood guy, again, just being such a difficult jerk with Oliver. Oliver's just like, I want to help.
Yeah.
I want to do good things.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know what? your good things aren't good enough.
But
again, this is us being manipulated. We are not supposed to like this character.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry. If you don't like him, it's because he's a bad guy. Now, here is where they're trying to trick us.
Yeah.
They're trying to trick us into thinking that Isabel is fine, that she is... We thought she was a threat, but we're finding out more and more that she's just concerned about the company.
Yeah.
No. She knows that Oliver is the Green Arrow, and she's up to something. Yeah. She's up to no good.
Yeah. Because she's here, right? She's a constant presence, and that she's not being like shoved down anyone's throat.
She's the Malcolm Merlin of this season. Yeah. Mark my words, it's coming. There will be a turn somewhere around Christmas
where
we'll find out that she's... she's actually there, you know, to find out what Oliver did know about the lumpy skull skeleton.
Exactly.
Like that's
exactly.
It'll be something. It'll be something.
Yeah. By the way, her name is Katie Holtz. I just looked it up.
Katie Holtz?
Lotz.
Katie Lotz. Yes. Okay.
There was some good music in this episode, by the way. Yeah. I just really liked it. I thought it was very consistent and sort of
CW always good music choices.
Yeah. So here, you know, Laurel getting thrown into the path of the soon-to-be bad guy that, I don't know.
No, this isn't, that's not blood, that's the DA.
Wasn't paying attention. Right.
Yeah, no, she's out, kind of tricks her into going on a date with him almost.
Yes.
And she is drinking a lot at this.
Yes, that we start to notice that. Mm-hmm. And, you know. Like, a lot. Like, she just finished that, and then I didn't know where the second glass of wine came from. Like,
as she finished her glass, the waiter...
Okay. Stealth wine refilling.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyways, this is a great location. I don't know where it is either. I really like that they use spaces different, like, different spaces constantly, right? Like, they have a few, like, through lines, and then they just use other stuff.
Yeah, well, we're in season two.
Yeah, that's
true. When it gets to season eight, it'll be... that back lot set that they had built so that they could constantly go to the same street.
So this is interesting. I didn't realize what it would be about the drinking, right? But there's an immediate consequence, right? Because I didn't notice the drinking up until the point where she was sitting in the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, she's drinking a lot, because you sort of see her. And then you're like, there's an immediate consequence to this, right? It's not something that they're like slowly like putting down for you, right? Which is just interesting.
Yeah, that three episodes later, something might happen in relation to it. No,
yeah.
They manage all these subplots so well.
Yeah.
And they keep the story moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Never, I... That's why I say, like, I put myself in the hands of the writers. Because they're going somewhere with this. And we're going to get there sooner rather than later. They're not going to drag it out.
Yeah. Well, look at Felicity's outfit. It's very bright. She doesn't really like bright stuff.
So this is them, they're finding out that they can track down the crate, and they're trying to, Felicity has found the back door, essentially, to turn the tracker on. All because the tracker was actually manufactured by Queen Consolidated.
Can I just say that they are, I mean, she's dressed like Speedy here, and she was dressed, been dressed like Speedy a couple times. Just, I think they're trying to really subtly... Anyways, I just, like, I think it's a very, like,
put
specific
her in the
outfit
deer
choice,
room.
Right? Yeah, like, it's just a very specific outfit choice. Anyways, so this is cool, like, how they're finding out, what is it? It's tracking on the actual, like, thing, right?
Yeah.
That they...
Yeah, on the crate. Yeah. So they're able to pinpoint his location.
So it's interesting. I love that she sort of has that nod, the throwback to the idea of being the assistant to Mr. Queen there.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't, like, let it go, right? It's not just a thing that, like, she was the assistant and now she's not anymore. It's like, no, she's still there.
So here the bad guys have discovered the tracker. And this was a really quick red herring of them being like, oh, they figured it out. But then you're like, no, Oliver's
he's still there. He's still
there.
He's going to come and figure it out. It's good.
He got there quick.
He did. What did you say? It was the
the arrow car.
Arrow car, yeah.
The arrow car. Or the arrow jet, possibly.
Yeah. So funny. Anyways, so they get away, but he's got the guns, right? So
yeah.
This idea, half the... Oh, wait, this is a nice line here, right? Still in office. It's kind of funny. He's starting to get kind of wisecracky.
He's getting quippy.
Yeah, he's getting quippy, and I think it's
commercial
slowly,
break, just fast
forward. Slowly,
yeah.
Slowly coming. So, you know, we'll We'll start to see the full evolution of Oliver, I think.
Sooner or later. Sooner or later. He's got to grow the mustache.
Oh, that's so upsetting. The goatee. Yeah.
That's upsetting? Why is it upsetting?
I don't know. Just
you don't want the mustache?
Certain goatees. I don't know. Like, let's see how they do
signature
it.
Signature to the character.
And then I'll be okay. You know what? There are some signatures that, I mean, it's
dead. And we're back. So, Laurel getting in trouble with her dad.
Yeah.
This cop has called.
Who's Officer Daly? Right? Who they just said? Well, I was on IMDb. I feel like they mentioned Officer Daly's in a whole bunch of episodes. By the by, which
it's possible. He seems familiar.
He's in four episodes, but they keep him consistent.
Detective Lance is sort of dressing her down for. For obviously, like he sees the warning signs, right?
Yeah.
That she is. She's starting down a path.
Right, yeah.
This is a very interesting story, and I like how they're handling it, because she's constantly falling back on the, yeah, well, I'm the one who took care of you when you had a problem.
Yeah.
I think I would know if I had a problem, right? And that's sort of the... The beginning of her having an issue, her having her own struggle with alcohol, because you can't see it, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the difficult parts with alcoholism.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just feel like this is a very realistic take on it, where it could have been played out in a much more melodramatic way of her being like, oh, I learned it from watching you.
Right?
But instead, it's like, no, I don't have a problem. You're the one who has a problem. Stop putting your stuff on me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is very, like, that's a very real scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Sarah showing up at the club.
Yeah. Very
sweet. She's trying to stay hidden. I don't know that she's doing a good job just showing up in civilian clothes.
Yeah. She's sort of...
At least later she's got the ball cap on.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she thought it was, like, stealth, no one was there or something. But... Anyways, so this is the first sort of conversation we really get, because, right, this is the first, like, them as who they are, right? So just having, like, what is it that you're looking for, which I think is interesting, right?
Well, what brought her here and how...
This is great! Look at this! What happened to Slade? Where have you been? Man! So close! So good! Look at that writing! Look at that! Ugh! So good, because you're like, but it's just tell us, because we know it's coming and we just want to know.
With last week and seeing him
like
in flame,
I don't know, like what happened to Slade? Come on, just let us know. So it's good because they just know, the writers just know that's the next big thing, because we've now got Black Mary's out of the way. Like in this episode, we're like, done, here, she's Sarah, and now we like.
Yeah, the evolution of Slade into the actual Deathstroke, because last year we had the fake Deathstroke,
Not really fake, he was just, I don't know.
It was a fake out, like, he was fake, it was a fake out. We were supposed to think that was Deathstroke.
Right, and then he dies, and then you're like, Slade Wilson!
And then it's like, wait a second, and then Slade Wilson shows up, so.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways,
this is interesting, I like that line of his where he's like, show up here hoping that I had told them that you were alive? Because you can tell that she's really kind of messed up with this. And then Detective Lance is there.
Like, he has never come to this club to see Ollie. Like, of all of the, like...
And I love this. I'm here to talk to you about my daughter. And it's like...
Look at his face.
It's so good.
And then I don't know why he needed to clarify that it was Laurel. Like, that's the thing, too, where, like, if you were in his shoes, you'd be like, obviously I'm talking about Laurel.
But I do like that there's that this makes sense, because Oliver would be shocked.
Oh, yeah.
In any circumstance of Lance showing up and being like, I need to talk to you about my daughter.
Yeah.
I think he'd still be like, wait, me? What daughter? I'm confused.
Why are you here?
So, he doesn't miss a beat, because he doesn't... At no point in time is he thinking, like, if my other daughter, you know, the one that's still alive that we thought was dead.
Yeah.
But in Oliver's head, obviously, because she's behind that door.
anyhow. And then, like...
Yeah, because they're totally awkward.
Yeah.
Even though last week they were working side by side to take down.
I know, but they need to be friends in real life as well as vigilante life. so good. I just want him to be around all the time. I
just
want, like, the Paul Blackthorne
show. Yeah, you just want the Paul Blackthorne show.
I
was going to say.
So good. He's so good. And, of course, Sarah's gone, right?
They should at some point spin off into another show. Diggle and Lance, where they go off into another city and they start a detective agency. Just Diggle and Detective Lance.
So bad.
That'd be awesome.
Would it? I don't know. I feel like I could use without the Diggle. It could just be Detective Lance. I'd be fine. Like this solo crusader, like on his own.
I just don't know that he could carry a show all by himself. Completely by himself.
Fine, I'll find someone else. Anyways, but look at this Russian guy here. So it's like they keep telling us that you're Russian. Right? Because we need to know where he learns the Russian from, right?
Possibly. I think the more important part here is that he's being asked to dig the bullet out of
his
side.
Well, okay.
I think that's slightly more important than the fact that that guy's Russian.
Well, I want to move seven steps ahead because the show keeps going ahead.
I just don't know why the most important thing to you at this point in time is, oh, that's how he learned Russian.
Because he's
so
like,
that he could use it once or twice last year.
But because they haven't showed us yet, I feel like it needs to be important.
No, it's not.
He joins like a gang and becomes Russian. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I don't know. The Russian thing is interesting.
It is interesting, but it's not the most important thing right now. The most important thing right now is that our hero has a bullet in his side.
Actually,
and he has to dig out himself with alligator forceps. So,
this is gross. Ugh.
Slightly
more
important than the Russian.
He's turning into our, like...
Just fast forward past the Thor
commercial.
Lots of Thor commercials in this... I went too far. In this... that they're playing during during Arrow, which is interesting.
Because comic books.
Yeah, because they're competing companies.
Oh, Laurel and him match. It's cute. They're both blue.
Oh, they do. They're both wearing blue.
That's kind of a nice color.
I like his jacket.
Yeah. We were talking about costumes earlier today, so now we're on costumes, I think.
No, but you're right. They're very synced up. They're both in earth tones and blue.
Mm-hmm.
But the background is very green.
Yeah, I love this gossip buddies, but they're gossip buddies. I think that's kind of cute.
Where are they?
Anyways.
I don't even know where they are in Vancouver. They
can
go to any one of a million places.
Yeah, that's true. I couldn't see. I only saw the street for a moment. But I don't think it was actually Vancouver Central. I think it might be a suburb. Because... I don't know. It looks too green to be downtown. I don't know.
So this is him doing what he said to check up on her and see if she's okay. And here she is again, like broken record.
Yeah.
I'm not the one with the problem. He is. He can't cope with losing Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's wrong. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Now
he
just
has
no trouble.
Words.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do?
He did manage to get the bullet out years ago.
Yeah.
When we flash back to the island. And now this guy is ready to talk to him.
Yeah.
So
he has that scar, right? Like, that's
a
scar.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's kind of cool. Very, very cool. I kind of like that. It's very hardcore. So that was like a test, right?
Yeah.
So this idea that now they're going to actually figure out what it is. So here, this is what we were speculating, obviously, you know, this has something to do with those bodies that they were looking at, and then near the end of the episode, how everything might tie together, like, what is it? They don't tell us what the bodies are, right? Or why they're looking for them.
No, but I maintain that they're our first link into superpowers on the show, that there's something with them.
Yeah, they're looking for...
alien, or superpowered, or radiated, or
something like that, right? And then this is the right island. I feel like every time they talk about
the
island,
that
because
Oliver didn't say anything.
Yeah,
like, this guy is obviously not to be trifled with, because he could tell just by looking at Oliver.
Yeah,
he was getting the answers to the questions.
Yeah,
this is a good scene too with Roy handing in his guns.
Yeah.
That we knew he had from last season, right?
Yeah.
Because we saw him grab the gun for his one.
Yeah. And I kind of love this idea that, like, without her, without knowing she was there, he's totally just like, no, I don't need the money. Like, he's just given in his guns. Like, they're really, I don't know, I think they're doing great things with Roy.
Yes.
And I was really apprehensive about him earlier.
They're establishing him, honestly, as more heroic than all of
them. Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, because I think that they will bring them together eventually, where they will be... heroing side by side, but they're going to have very different methods because they have come about it in
very different ways. Yeah.
So
it'll be very interesting. So this sort of moment where they have, I don't know, Thea sort of knows something's going on, but she doesn't sort of push, which is kind of interesting and nice. I like it. And he doesn't really lie. He says from around, not like anything specific. Anyway, did he say he said he wouldn't come to the thing, that he would just give them money?
Yeah, well, he said that he was going to keep his name right off of it. He didn't want people to know. Yeah. But then he's there, so.
Yeah.
But there's blood yet again. It's just so hard to nail him down. Like, is he friend or foe, right? But they were playing with it in this episode a lot.
Yeah.
Where he's very.
Well, adversarial, I mean, his intentions, but his intentions are to help the city, I think, too, right? Like, that's. So he says. But, right, I mean, like, why would you, I mean...
Malcolm's intentions were to save the city as well.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, it just means that they weren't maybe doing the best way to do that, but, right?
Yeah.
We always set up Ollie as a parallel, right? That they always want to save the city, and what is the end, the means to your end, right? Like, that's always what it's about, right? And that's what Ollie had to really overcome last year, is this idea that, well, he was killing people, and, like, what is the means to your end? And this year now, really taking a different tack for that. Like, wanting to save the city, and how are you going to do that?
I like this this explanation of the title, Crucible.
Yeah.
And he explains that people think there are two types of people. People who go through a crucible and come out stronger, and people who die.
Yeah.
He goes, but there is a third type, people who stay in the crucible, and they carry it with them.
Yeah.
And we're obviously hearing a lot about Sarah, but I think that Blood is also talking about himself.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's a parallel there that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, obviously, that's coming from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at the stuff with the island and everything. So,
can I just say that him stepping out in front of this, like, with people with guns, I would actually say points to some sort of belief in a, like... invincibility.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Knowing what we know at the end of this.
I don't know. I just like on second watch. This is why you always should watch this twice, because then you're like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
because
Oliver thinks that he saved him, but maybe he would have been fine anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyways, I really like that Ollie's always constantly thinking, right? Like this idea that he's like, I gotta go make sure that my sister's okay. Which is good.
But Sin's
here's
not.
Sin with lots of blood on her hands. Sad.
Yeah, she got shot.
I was worried she was going
to
die.
Somebody had to get hurt in this episode.
Well, because they were, like, running in front of the bullets. Like, look at these, like, extras running in front of these bullets and getting shot. Like,
fast forward here.
Apparently Scandal is good.
Apparently.
Keep talking about it.
I've heard that.
I feel like it's outside of my genre, but it should be relatively all right to watch. So maybe I'll watch it sometime. Maybe we should start having, like, commercial commentary as well.
Just watch the commercials?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Now we're back to...
They're connecting the dots with it, because they get the facial recognition here.
Which I love her air quotes, right?
Yeah.
Where she's going,
borrowed
the FBI's. I love it. That they don't make it like a big thing. It's just sort of a... Anyways. Xavier Reed. I didn't know. I think this is just like a person, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that he's a comic character. Yeah. It's just this is a character created for the show.
But then you get these links, right? So this idea of how it is he's getting his guns, right? And Ezra Barnes, is Ezra Barnes anywhere?
I don't
know. Or is that, like, that's, because that's the guy he's getting the guns from, right? Is that who we see at the end? Ezra Barnes. Yeah. Right. Which is interesting.
Yeah, so they connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
They find out who his connection is on the military base and how he's been getting these military-grade weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it all together and they find out, okay, there's a shipment or a convoy that's going to get hijacked now. So they know when and where.
Yeah.
So Oliver's going to head out to intercept.
Mm-hmm.
And then we check in with Sin. But the more important part here, like, we're going to do this, and then, like, it's going to be a moment for Roy. But more importantly is the person who is Sin's friend.
Yeah, Sin's friend.
Who's hanging
outside.
There, and Oliver knowing where to find her.
Yeah, which is interesting. Because I don't think they've established that connection yet, right? Like, they haven't talked about Sarah and Sin, like, how they know each other.
There was a little bit in this episode about her... Yeah. saving her from some thug guys and that sort of thing. So Oliver has showed up now, and they're going to team up. So this is our second team up superhero team up, but our first one between these two.
Oh right, wait, the Huntress. Yeah,
we're team ups with the Huntress.
Ooh, she's gonna get to team up with all the birds of prey.
Well, I don't know that we're gonna see Barbara Gordon. Yeah. But.
Well, anyways, but very cool. So we're getting ready for a really epic fight scene, which did not disappoint. I don't think awesome.
This was great.
Like. Very exciting. Look at those trucks. Those are huge. Where do you even source things like that? Like, where is it, like...
From the military.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there a military here?
Yes.
I don't know.
Stop reinforcing fake, incorrect Canadian stereotypes that we have.
There are military bases out in the boonies where I used to grow up, but, like, I don't know where in Vancouver... Oh, wait, no, Jericho Hill is, like, all military, isn't it? Fine, whatever. Whatever. Let's just watch this fight scene.
So, lots of beating the snot out of people, and Oliver, with his arrows.
Yeah.
Shooting everybody in the shoulder now. That's his big thing.
Yeah.
Shoot everybody in the shoulder.
I'm not actually going to kill you. But, like, look at this. How, I don't know.
Punching them in the face with the bow.
Arrow and a stick. How are you winning against these people? Yeah. Like, this by the way,
is so awesome.
So good. Yes. Yes, it can. Like,
yeah, he just shoots it out.
Oh, and here we go. Look, he's lost his arrow or his bow.
His bow, so he picks up the staff.
Staff. I call it a stick. And look at that reveal. Like, what a great shot. That was amazing.
Back. I love it. I love it. It's just
so. That was like
great sight gag.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
But now we're not sure. Is she gonna kill him? Right? Like, they're gonna because obviously.
He's been killing a lot of people.
So.
Yeah,
I just love that mask. I love that whole costume.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's pretty great.
And now that we know that her hair is a wig and that she's has blonde hair underneath it.
Yeah,
but that hair is the wig, and that's why it sort of just
looks like that.
It's that a little bit more stylized, right? It just does it perfectly.
I love that. Like, awesome that she's just really like, I don't know. Don't call me a bitch. I don't know. That's pretty good. By the way, best part, so we're starting it back on with the really important thing about the Star Labs particle accelerator.
Yeah, because it accelerates particles. And if you happen to be a particle that is in there that's a human being, you might get accelerated also.
And turn into someone famous and fast. Yeah. And
they're establishing that there's been protests around the particle accelerator.
Yeah.
So eventually a crime will happen around the particle accelerator.
Ooh.
And then a forensic a specialist is going to have to be brought in, and Barry Allen will show up, and then particles will get accelerated, and he will
so
become the Flash.
Good.
Calling it right now.
That would be, anyways, I just love that they're just doing this. They're just setting up the seeds all through it. So exciting. Anyways, here, so there's more than one way to save a city, is just this very first interesting note that we get from Bled, right?
Yeah.
This idea, like, what does that mean? Thought you wanted to run for mayor, but maybe you don't. So we've had Roy staying in the hospital all night, which is kind of good, and...
I've never been in a hospital that's this dark.
Yeah, I know, right? They like, shut all the electricity off. It's the Glades. They have no power.
That's they did this on Smallville all the time, too, right?
Like,
where the
hospitals
hospital
are dark.
This.
Yeah. Anyways, this is sort of interesting that, like, sort of knows something's happening, but she's just...
I think they're setting up the B-team here.
Yeah.
With that. Because I think that, like, Roy, Sin, and Thea could be their own...
That would be interesting.
Team Red Arrow.
But
there's Sarah checking in. Everything's fine. And her Starling City rockets have.
Yeah. Very good. So this is kind of, you know, a very different... because Thea would know her. Right. Yeah, she's really not doing a very good job of staying, like, hidden. And, not paying attention to herself.
But Oliver's trying to explain that she needs to...
She needs to
come clean and let her family know that she's around, but there's a complication here. Sarah says, like, if they know that you've been lying, mm-hmm. they'll never speak to you again. And he says, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's willing to sacrifice it.
Yeah.
If it means that that family can be together yeah. again.
Anyways, so this is a good explanation. I know that the earthquake brought you here. Thank you for that, right? Like, this yeah. idea that we're like, why did she all of a sudden show up in Starling City? Like, what? I don't understand what happened. So I guess it was, right? Newsworthy, right?
Yeah.
So this idea of her having obviously kept, like, an ear to the ground for what's happening.
Yeah, and she wants to find out, well, like, make sure that Laurel's safe.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good, fair enough. Oh, but it's, I don't know, this is that self-sacrificing thing that Ally's trying to yeah. do, right? Like, he would be all right. Oh. And then
this is the best scene in the whole episode of yeah. just... that Detective Lance explaining what's going on with Laurel mm-hmm. as we see her taking some pills, mm-hmm. probably some anxiety pills or something like that, like something to yeah. deal with her stress or depression or something.
You know, with
and
wine.
Then washing it down with wine, which is yeah. not a good mix. So
yeah.
this is like everything that Laurel's been saying that she's yeah. got all like that she's fine. There's yeah. nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously that's yeah. not the case.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
got some serious problems.
Yeah. So it's I don't know, it's pretty powerful. I don't know, Detective Lance. And this idea that now Ollie's sort of taking Sarah with her. So yeah. here we were going, so this was the, now we're getting to the last little bit of the episode, and I'm waiting, because I've got, you know, we got that tweet before the episode started, and I'm going, yeah. okay, what's happening at the end of this episode? We're going to see what it is, like, who is it that's going to be revealed here? Is this what we're going to get? Is it going to be something really awesome? But then we realized it. But I called it, like, right around here, though, where I was like, no, it's going to be Sarah. Because that was the thing that we were excited about, that it would be Sarah coming. Because he sees her a year later, right?
Yeah.
So, we yeah, know it's a so girl. She shows wait, up with we the sword. Thought it could be Slade, too, actually. Or,
no, I thought Slade, it was Shadow.
Shadow, yeah, yeah. Because that would make sense, too, that it would be like a total like shocker that it was Shadow.
Yeah.
But it's not. We have a Sarah who clearly has been on this island then for a while, just like him. Or yeah. on this boat, at least.
And then here's this go. Last
yeah,
3 seconds week. Where we see that the mayor has been moved to this other location by these cops, and we mm-hmm. get the reveal of Brother Blood.
Yeah.
And a mysterious glowing green syringe.
Kryptonite! I don't know.
We don't
I think
know
it
that
looks like sure. kryptonite.
But it's something. It could be yeah. Bane serum, so it's like, Bane venom.
Yeah, so what is it? So it's the thing that we don't know. And it says, yeah, are you ready to serve? So is it something that it's going to be like an enhancement? Is it going to be a like psychosis? Like, is it going to be like a just plain like make yeah. people do whatever your bidding is? Or like, what is yeah. it? We don't know, right? So this idea of it obviously not working, failed experiment, and then dun, dun, dun.
The reveal that the bad guy is the bad guy, because we already knew he was bad, but now we have a confirmation that he is the bad guy.
Yeah, it's good. And working with the cops, right? So this idea that it's, yes, Brother yeah. Blood, right? Like, that it's, the cops are working with him actively, right? Which is the thing that you're going to then get, well, obviously Paul Blackthorne is not working with him actively. I just call him, he's the only one that I'm like, I'm going to call you by your actor name, because...
Yeah. And then we have the preview for next week, which is going to be a lot of League of Shadows, Ra's al Ghul stuff.
Yeah.
Figure
out what's going on with her and how she became who she is. That clock tower seems like it's going to be used a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Very exciting.
So, an awesome episode. Lots of reveals. Mm-hmm. A lot of setup for the overarching season story. We've had an overarching story on the island.
Yeah, yeah.
But we haven't really had one in Starling City.
Yeah,
so now true. We do have one because yeah. it's Brother Blood. Yeah, now we know yeah. like we have, we just didn't
know that it was
that he was the
was.
Bad guy
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
so now we've got that set up and we're just gonna have to see how that plays out.
Very exciting.
Yes. But I think we've talked a lot. So I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the interview. If you want us to try and, I don't know, hopefully we'll get to talk to some more people throughout the season as we see stuff, or I don't know, talk about some more interesting, I like having sort of special episodes that are sort of about certain things, right? So
yeah.
we got to talk a lot about costume design and character
yeah.
development today. So
definitely.
That'll be interesting.
But, that does it for us. So you can find us online at quiverpodcast.com, facebook.com/quiverpodcast.
We also have our Facebook group, which if you go to the Facebook page, you'll see the group that you can link to, have conversations on there. And then follow us on Twitter, so you can tweet us at quiverpodcast. And you can also tweet us individually. So I'm at Akonkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N.
And I'm at Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F.
Excellent. So,
and that does it for this week. So thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Stay sharp, Arrowheads.